Welcome, dear friends. I know this has been an especially challenging week for many. Things just keep ramping up, don't they? But let's take time now to just calm and center ourselves. For God has not forgotten us, and he has not abandoned us. So let's take a moment to join in prayer. Dearest Lord, we come to you this day so in need of your grace, your strength, your power. Help us to be wise in these uncertain times and faithful to you, even as you are always so faithful to us. Help us to lay our burdens down and to focus on the many things for which we are grateful. Your gifts are plentiful. Give us that peace that passes all understanding and that joy that's not dependent on circumstances. We thank you for the continued generosity of our church family and pray for your blessing on each gift and the givers, that all might be used to ease suffering and used according to your purpose to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in word and song.
I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. Let's worship.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. Great Father of glory, your Father of light, thine angels adore thee, unveiling the sight of all thy rich graces. Grace, Lord, impart, take the veil from our faces, the vow from our hearts. Oh, Lord, we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. And so let thy glory, almighty, impart, through Christ in his story, thy Christ to the heart.
Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way that you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong in opinions but weak in the faith department, remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. So, let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said it before, and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly, if you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should be not to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to the others who are eating. Don't eat or say or do things that might interfere with a free exchange of love. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, other days just trying to please them, then you know that you're out of line. If the way you live is inconsistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the scripture puts it. Even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants a combination of a steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our lives, our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of prayer. Amen. Father Michael McVaney, a speaker and counselor on self-esteem, tells of a time that he traveled a great distance at his own expense to do a talk for a high school group. And it was so frustrating. The group seemed, you know, very antsy, very inattentive. And to make it worse, there was a small clique in the back of the room with this girl who was so rude that she had her back turned to him the whole time. And she just blithely went on with her own conversation. Well, finally, he was so tired and so frustrated that he called out that girl and he said, "Look, I've traveled a long way just to be with you today. I deserve to be treated with some respect. And you can at least give me the courtesy to turn around and look at me. You have no right to be so rude." The girl was really embarrassed. And with tears of humiliation running down her cheeks, she said, "Father, I'm so sorry, but these are our deaf students, and I was just translating your talk for them." Pretty embarrassing, right? Reminds me of another story of two friends who were having lunch together one day at one of their homes, and as they gazed out the window, the host pointed to her neighbor's backyard where the wash was hanging on the line. And she sighed and she shook her head. She said, "You see that wash out there on the line and how dirty it is? I mean, I just don't get my neighbor. She never hangs out clean wash." Well, the time came for the visiting friend to head back to home. And as she was leaving, they walked out together to her car where the wash on the line was even more visible than it was before. Well, imagine their surprise when they saw that the wash was actually sparkling white. Guess what? It wasn't the neighbor's wash that was dirty. It was the host's window that needed some cleaning. Truth be told, friends, I think we all have those times when we jump to conclusions, when we are a little too quick and make assumptions, when we pass judgments, when actually, we don't have the full story. And sometimes we just get it really wrong. And I confess that I've had at least a few of these situations happen over time, probably more than even I'm aware of. You add on to all that our human need to always be right. We have all kinds of opportunities for conflict, don't we? Michael Pre-Green tells an interesting story how once a young man asked his young son to break up a bundle of sticks. Well, he came back a little while later to find the little boy pretty frustrated. He tried all kinds of ways to break up those sticks, and every single way had failed. He tried raising the bundle up high and smashing it on his knee, but about all that did was bruise his knee. He tried setting the bundle against a wall, stomping it hard with his foot. Nothing worked. So the father took the bundle from his son and he untied it. And then he took each stick one by one and broke it. And the sticks actually broke quite easily. Well, my friends, we are like those sticks. We are strong together and almost unbreakable. But separate us and we become more fragile than we think, more vulnerable to be broken. And this has been true throughout history. It was certainly part of the struggle in the early church. As Leonard Sweet reminds us, the first believers were from a Jewish background, and although they claimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they continued to keep the laws of the Torah. Problems arose when people came to know Jesus who did not come from that same background. Would they have to observe Jewish practices before becoming believers? Paul championed the cause of the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, breaking down barriers that separated and divided the people and bringing them together. And that's where they found their strength. Instead of seeing only the obvious differences, Paul urged the believers to celebrate their unity in Christ. For example, in Galatians 3:28, Paul claims, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ." These were radical words in those times, a time when people were defined by their heritage, gender, social class. When you stop to think about it, actually, those words continue to be revolutionary even today. So how do we find that unity in these incredibly divisive times? Well, I think this passage offers some very strong and relevant advice to us. There's lots to think about, but 3 points seem especially relevant. First of all, from Romans 14:1, welcome with open arms those who don't see things the way that you do. Welcome with open arms those who don't see things the way you do. That's a powerful challenge right now, isn't it? Because what we're seeing is people divided. We're seeing anger. We're seeing judgment. We're seeing hatred. But we're not called to that. We're called to listen. We're called to find ways to come together. We're called to remember that we are all brothers and sisters. And every single one of us, we have things that are good in us and we have things that are less good. We have things that are different, that are neither bad nor good, but just different. And one of the benefits of giving time to those who are different is it helps us to grow. It helps us to see things in new ways. One of the benefits of seminary was the diversity of students, so many coming from so many different backgrounds. And having the opportunity to listen to each other and to come to places of understanding. Now, did that always change all the differences? Not necessarily, but it gave us an opportunity to respect each other, to value each other. And very often, it did change our attitudes. I know that there were a lot of things that I believed strongly before I started that changed as I had a chance to hear these different points of view. There is a beauty in that diversity, and there is opportunity in listening to each other. And there is a wonderful opportunity when we can be welcoming, genuinely welcoming, even when we don't agree. There's an opportunity to reach for the better good of all. The second point from Romans 15:19, use your energy to get along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. Right now, too much energy is going into judging. Too much energy is going into criticizing. But you know what? There is something powerful in being able to care for each other and encourage each other. And you know what? It is possible to be encouraging even to those who disagree. In fact, that's where a lot of the healing can come. And in addition, when you feel heard, when you feel that someone cares about you, you're more likely to listen to them, and they're more likely to listen to you. So if we can use our energy to try to build bridges, if we can use that energy to care, genuinely care about others, that will be a way that we can end some of the ugliness that we're seeing right now. The third point from Romans 15:23, use your strength for service and not for status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? You know, one of the things, big challenges that we're facing right now is that so much focus is me, me, me. What's in my best interest? We've talked about that before. And it is destroying us because we are not created just for our own good. It's not about how famous we become. It's not about being the star. It's not about having everyone admire us. None of those are things that God values. What he values is our willingness to use our lives in service to others. That's what we're created for. And that's, again, what helps to unite us. When we're not thinking about ourselves, but we're caring for others, then that leads us to find that common ground. That helps us to find ways that we can agree. It helps us to find solutions that everyone benefits from. And there are ways. Our problem is that we too often get locked into an us versus them, where there has to be winners and there has to be losers. That's not how God created the world, and that's not how he intends us to live. God wants us all to be winners, but that only happens when we realize our own weaknesses, when we realize our need for him, when we realize our need to work together for the common good, our need to love our brothers and sisters as ourselves. I want to close today with a powerful reminder from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And that he said, you know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. And what was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves got together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. You know, right now, we're in a kind of slavery. And as long as we allow others to divide us, we will never find answers. We will never find that way of being that God calls us to. We must bind ourselves together as God's people, as the body of Christ. Because united we stand, divided we fall. Always. So may we be the uniters, those who seek not that which is only in our best interest, but that which is according to God's purpose for the good of all. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, it is so easy to make assumptions about others. It's so easy to be provoked. It's so easy to be locked into our own way of seeing things that we fail to understand others and are too quick to pass judgment, to assume the worst. Forgive us for the needless and painful barriers we create with our brothers and sisters, and help us to find a common ground that leads to unity. Give us a most generous spirit toward everyone. Make us one in Christ and with you, so that we can be the incarnation of Christ in this world and a testimony of your love and your grace. All this we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Dear ones, know that God is with us, and that as we seek him and his purpose, as we seek to love our neighbors as ourselves, he forgives us. He forgives us and makes us brand new. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now let's continue in prayer with Jill Delfield.
God of all times and places, we cannot stop talking about the painful events we have witnessed this week. We are discussing the numbers of people killed by COVID-19. We speak constantly of the suffering brought on by this pandemic. We talk about the economic, physical, mental, spiritual, and psychological distress all over the globe. We debate the merits and risks of reopening our country. We cannot turn away from the anxiety that feels ever present. We know you hear our voices and our supplications. We give thanks that you do not leave us alone. As the risen Christ comes alongside us now, we pour out our hearts, unashamed to share exactly how we feel and what we fear in this moment. We rest in your sure presence as we share with you now our thoughts and worries, our hopes and our doubts. God of all times and places, tell us again the story of salvation. Remind us how you rescued us from Egypt and sustained us in the wilderness. Help us to remember that you were with us in exile and made a way to bring us home. Do not let us forget that you can use for good even that for which we intend for evil. Bring to our minds the countless times you have not allowed the storms of this life to overtake us. We know you hear our voices and our supplications. We give thanks that you do not leave us alone. As the risen Christ comes alongside us now, we urge him not to leave, but instead to stay with us. We abide in your resurrected presence as we listen for your living word. Give us your guidance in this trying time. God of all times and places, having heard your word and broken bread with you, we recognize our Lord alive and showing us the way. You do indeed make all things possible, defeating evil, overcoming death, restoring us to right relationship with you and one another. Send us to those places in deepest need of knowing the creation is redeemed and nothing can separate us from your love. Hear our voices and our shouts of praise as we proclaim, we have seen the Lord. He is risen indeed. We are not and will never be alone. We make our prayer in the name of the one who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Dear ones, know that you are not alone. Together, let's discover and embrace the new thing that God is doing. Together, let's be guided to live as one, with love and compassion toward all our brothers and sisters. And now may you go in God's love, in God's peace, in God's strength, now and forever be blessed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.